Let's go out to the hotline back in KC. Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor, the editor over on Chiefs on SI. Briscoe, you a Vegas guy?
I am here in the studio. I'm ready to join the fan club at 1 o'clock. Just me and Drew hanging out. Where are you guys?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've seen you drunk. I just wanted to see Alex drunk. I'm trying to mix up my party company.
No, that's a good call. I am not historically really a Vegas guy. I haven't been out for an actual just sort of nothing but pleasure trip. A couple of work trips out there. I once did sort of get like half naked in a Las Vegas bathroom at an airport because the time we got there early in the morning, I realized that I had put my underwear on backwards. So I have been half naked in a Las Vegas airport bathroom. That normally happens on the
way out of Vegas when you're just like leaving.
I mean,
disheveled.
Being half naked in an airport bathroom, there's a lot of thoughts. That's not very good. Not good. Not good, Briscoe.
It's kind of Winnie the Poohing it, you know, top on, no bottoms.
Yeah.
That's an interesting approach. I'll say that. By the way, did you see? We have to talk about it later in the show. Alex is sending out thirst traps on our station social media account.
Whoa!
He's out here topless in the pool.
Oh man, listen, I'm not sure that the fine folks of Kansas City are ready for that. The fine folks of Vegas probably are, but I don't know if you can send those kind of transmissions back here.
I was told that they needed my game predictions for social media. Hell, I was in the pool. So that's what happened, you know? I think it's they want engagement, they want to increase our followers. I'm glad to help, you know?
You sure that's increasing?
I think so, actually.
I would like to get some data, please. If we could go ahead, whoever's in charge of your guys' social media, I would like to track the analytics on that one.
Like the post from last week for predictions and the post next week for predictions.
Yes.
And whether or not this one does better or worse, we'll do it. We were talking in the early part of the show, Briscoe. Does Andy Reid, like, look, we already know he's a big game time adjuster. That's been the whole thing. He's willing to change the way he is. I'm not sure anyone's paying attention that this is a running team. They ranked 24th in passing percentage this year. They've ranked top 10 in every other year under Patrick Mahomes. Does Andy Reid get enough credit for making this a running team, apparently?
No, I think he is around here a little bit. Nationally, no shot, right? Like, because that reputation is very well learned back to his Philadelphia days. I mean, like, Andy Reid has always been kind of pushing the passing game to the point that became kind of a trope, again, back in Philly. So then he, you know, has the entire Kansas City evolution. You get Alex Smith getting this passing game going, and now, of course, the entire Mahomes era has been defined by the guy who I just named the era after being Mahomes. So now, running an offense sort of through Kareem Hunt in 2024 is a legitimately remarkable thing, and they did it out of necessity, right? Again, this offense, we've talked about this a ton all week over the last several weeks. It wasn't a bad plan at wide receiver in this preseason process. They just had terrible, terrible luck. So what do you do in the meantime? Well, when you can't really trust your receivers, you don't have enough who can separate, you figure out if you can use the interior O-line, and then, again, I cannot stress this enough, Kareem Hunt in 2024, that is an amazing evolution for the offense, and it's, of course, bolstered by how good the defense has been. I don't think they get enough credit either, frankly.
DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, we all expect him to play. Andy, you know, saying that, why wait, which I think is exactly right. There is no reason to wait. But do you think it's just kind of a package of plays and kind of just get him acclimated? Or do you think he could end up being one of the leading targets in the game on Sunday?
I think the former should be the plan. I think the latter is on the table. Because he certainly ought to have, you know, a dozen snaps or so where that's the point, is to get DeAndre Hopkins on the field in a Chiefs uniform, give Mahomes some reps with him, some plays where the ball is certainly supposed to go to DeAndre Hopkins where he's your primary read, and then some plays where you can just kind of give him a chance to get a little bit familiar in the offense and have Mahomes get familiar with him. I think that's the baseline. I'd be pretty surprised if he didn't get 10 to 15 snaps, maybe kind of in that range, and a couple of targets. I hope they make a point of that. The funny thing is that with this offense being as thin as it is at wide receiver right now, if DeAndre Hopkins isn't playing more than 10 or 12 snaps, I think Justin Ross is probably playing snaps, and yes, DeAndre Hopkins just showed up to take his number. So at that point, if your concern is like, well, I don't know if this guy knows the offense in its entirety yet, or if we can put him out there and he'll be in the right spots, you don't know that about Justin Ross either. I don't really know that about Nico Remigio. He's also such a different type of receiver. It's a different conversation. I don't think that knowing the offense, Cornell Powell, right back onto the practice squad, is a better player than DeAndre Hopkins, having no idea what the play call even is. So I think we will definitely see a dose of him, and I'll be curious to see if it goes well early on, maybe he just stays in the rotation.
Maybe I'm wrong. I think he's getting a huge amount of the workload because there's no one else to throw to.
Right, right.
Like Xavier Worthy, Justin Watt. Like the Justin Ross part, I don't know if anybody remembers this, and it's probably small. He couldn't get lined up correctly in preseason. He's been on this team for three. He's been on this team for 3 years. Like, yeah. I mean, he was having trouble still getting lined up correctly. I think there's a big reason, like, we all mock Sky Moore and his lack of production versus number of snaps.
That's right.
But there's a reason why he was on the field 60% of the time and Justin Ross couldn't be on the roster. And a lot of that was because Sky Moore will do small things. He will block. He will stand correctly where he's supposed to. He might not, like, catch it or get open, but he will physically go where he's supposed to go.
No, I don't think that's a small thing at all. I think that's the thing for Justin Ross at this point. The preseason process, the memories that stuck out to me were him lining up in the wrong spot and Mecole Hardman needing to line him up, I think, in the final preseason game. Then that cut over to Andy Reid with his mustache waving in the wind like furious. They had to burn a timeout to get Justin Ross lined up in year three, like you said. And for all the things that he's interesting, you know, the traits of his that could be alluring as a big body receiver, He could not block a soul. And again, with Remigio, he's a small guy. They need to have, I think that's the main reason that Cornell Powell is back, honestly, legitimately. I don't think we're going to see him straight into the roster, but I don't think there's anyone on the squad right now who can just line up and throw a couple of blocks on the outside here and there, which, as you said, I completely agree. That is the one and the small thing that Sky Moore brought to the table.
Do you think that they're spending their extra cap space on anything, or is it just wiggle room for wiggle room's sake?
I think it's wiggle room for the deadline's sake. I don't think we're going to see anything today or tomorrow. I think letting things play out a little bit. You just saw the Rams, who I feel like should have been in this headspace the whole time. I think the Rams just realized that maybe they still can be good and that the whole Cooper Kupp thing was always a little bit silly. But maybe if Cooper Kupp and Puka are looking good, maybe DeMarcus Robinson, who, you know, top five also NFL wide receiver DeMarcus Robinson, maybe he becomes a little more flexible again, or maybe they call the Giants again if they drop a couple more games in the meantime ahead of the deadline. I think that there is room there for a reason. I don't think the Chiefs 100% know where that room is going yet. The other thing with this, as opposed to even like Joe Tooney's restructure from a couple years back, Juwan Taylor was always going to be on this team next year, and this little move doesn't really change any of the math beyond that in a super meaningful way. So I think it's a pretty safe restructure for the future. So if they don't have a guy they like and need to use that money for, then you can just go ahead and roll it over, keep it in your pocket. Maybe it's even to grab somebody. I don't know who's left on the couch at this point, but it's nice to have a little operating budget there.
Our Chiefs contributor Josh Briscoe joining us here on Cody and Gold. All right, what about the game itself, though, Sunday against the Raiders? We all know the Christmas Day game a year ago. There's been comments made since, and Antonio Pierce making the Mahomes rules of football, things like that. Other than Brock Bowers and Max Crosby, I mean, the Raiders just don't have much heading into this thing.
No, you're right. I mean, those are the two guys to watch on either side of the ball and like maybe the only two guys. The one thing that I do feel good about here that I'm just glad to see, and it's that partially thanks to Christmas, and maybe it's a little bit Antonio Pierce, maybe it's a little bit the Kermit puppet that some dope fan brought to training camp and then handed to that poor rookie who did not know what he was getting into. But
well, he didn't have to do the weird voice, man. He opened himself up to that a little.
Oh, no, no. Listen, he didn't do a good job, but it wasn't entirely his fault.
Yeah.
Regardless, there's a little bit of juice in this game, I think. Like, last week, Chiefs-Niners did not feel like a Super Bowl rematch in any meaningful way, pre or during the game. This does feel a little bit like Raider week. Again, you guys are in Vegas. The last time the Chiefs played in Vegas, the Raiders weren't playing there, and the Chiefs were hosting a Lombardi trophy. And I think there's a little bit of vitriol that's kind of bubbled back up between these two teams. And I don't know if there's a better bad vibes rivalry in the sport than Chiefs-Raiders. I mean, it's amongst the most historic, and it's certainly amongst the nastiest. I love Max Crosby, and I would have loved Brock Bowers in Kansas City, but I love them as elite players who might actually give the Raiders something to follow in line behind in this game. On the other hand, I think even the injury-depleted Chiefs are miles and miles and miles and miles ahead of this Raiders team. They're a mess. Gardner Minshew's been a mess. That offense, I don't think, is going to do anything against Spags' defense.
Is Antonio Pierce the worst coach in football?
I don't know, man. It's funny because, you know, there's like a little bit of the Max Crosby, like maybe he wants out kind of thing. It was like, well, you hired the head coach here. Like, not quite Aaron Rodgers levels, but it felt like maybe the closest thing. He makes so many weird in-game choices that when that's the thing that I can evaluate, even beyond what a locker room is like or whatever, if he's the worst game day coach in football, then it makes you one of the worst across the board. I don't. It seems like the players liked him last year, but interim coaches get that kind of vibes boost all the time. So I certainly wouldn't lay my life on the line to fight for him as anything outside of one of the bottom five right now.
I'll give you credit, by the way. I think a couple of weeks ago we were talking about the poor officiating in Chiefs games, and then last night you see Sam Darnold get his head ripped off in front of a referee, and nobody noticed it. He's like, I didn't see it. You're like, what do you mean you didn't see it? Like, it just is a good reminder, I think, anytime people are mad about the way Chiefs get calls, that the refs are just not that good. It's a hard job, and they're not great at it.
Yep. I've been pounding the table on that for years, and now these last several weeks. Guys, the WNBA final was under the shadow of a refereeing controversy. It is across the board. We can talk about balls and strikes, or fouls or no fouls, or face masks 3 feet away from an official where a quarterback is beheaded. It really is. It's frustrating because obviously this is, you know, a cliche that you don't need me to say, but like, no one's there for the refs. The point of the refs is to try to put the rules in ink and then let the refs make sure that those rules are being followed so we can all enjoy the game. Far too often, I think leagues have gotten in front of themselves to say like, well, we're gonna really kind of try to clean this up, or we're gonna just let it all play out, or the human element. When in reality, the only thing we want to do is not notice the refereeing. I think last night's an example where we have all of those quick reviews now, assistance from New York. When those refs huddle, there's no reason one of them couldn't have had an AirPod in that says, hey, we're here in New York, and Sam Darnold just about lost his head. He looked like an owl getting his face mask spun around there. That's a penalty. Let's go ahead and clean this up. The most obvious thing possible. I think we need to redefine some terms with how officiating across sports is done. We have more technology where they could get more help, because we at home on our big HDTVs, we have a better idea of what actually happened than the ref, who is admittedly standing behind the action, or another one who can't see because Sam Darnold's behind a line of, at that point, 10 dudes between him and another ref in front of him. It is a tough job. It moves very fast, but it looks easier from our couches because we have all the technology to benefit it. I wish more people would understand that when the Chiefs get a call, as opposed to somebody tweeting last night, Mahomes would have gotten that call if it was him back there. No, he wouldn't have, because the refs didn't see it. They were making a choice to disrespect Sam Darnold. They didn't think Sam Darnold hadn't earned that call. They didn't see it, and I think all we can do at this point is keep pointing that out and then hope these leagues eventually step in and try to help out the officials, because clearly they need it.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Stop using logic, Briscoe, when you're trying to explain the situation. Look, if that game was in Minnesota, they just needed to throw some water bottles on the field, wait 7 minutes, and they would have overturned it.
Right. I mean, like, that kind of stuff is happening from college to the pros to football, basketball, men's sports, women's sports. It's always similar issues. I would like to believe that as a society, with our combined brain power, maybe we can improve the state of things. Maybe.
There you go. Josh Briscoe, he joins us each and every Friday here on Cody and Gold. Check out his work over at Chiefs on SI. He's our Chiefs contributor here at 96.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.